Oh my God, so much work. Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 596. I'm Brian Chaffin on Ventura,
which means... Yeah, and I'm Jeff Gambit, Brian Chaffin's babysitter.
Tech help.
Yeah, tech help babysitter.
Hand holder.
Tomato, tomato. Also, check us out on contextmachine.io.
Yep, you can do that. You can also use that there, contextmachine.io, to reach out to us, or you can reach out to us on the show, which is Twitter, at Context Machine. It is definitely a show.
We are so off to a good start. I mean, I knew we were off to a good start when we just like got together and everything went so smoothly.
Yeah, it took 2 hours to start recording. And that, I mean, we weren't even doing the chit chat thing that usually is what takes 2 hours.
Right. Crazy. I do want to let everyone know that this episode is sponsored by LinkedIn Jobs. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll tell you about them later in the show. Let's see here. First of all, let's start off with a tip, Jeff.
Is the tip, are we recording? Should you check?
Yes. Yeah. La, la, la. Can you just say something? Yeah, okay. It looks good, man. It looks good.
Okay, good. Okay. What's the real tip?
So Neil, the noted architect Pan.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Neil.
Yep. He sent me a note. He said, hey, discovered if you hit tab. I'm quoting, by the way. Discovered if you hit tab when Safari's password overlaps one passwords, then the Safari one goes away and you can see your one password option. You want to test that? Right now.
Hold on. You're asking me to test something in a web browser I don't use. Sure, I'm right on it.
And he's referring to the issue like where iCloud keychain pops up over 1Password's password window, and it's a pain to get to.
Okay. And oh, okay. So here's what I have. I decided I'll log into iCloud on in Safari. So it says, okay. So it gives me a dialogue asking if I want to log in with the Apple ID that it thinks I want to use. And then it has continue with 1Password. So if I hit tab, nothing's happening here. But that might be because it already thinks that it has half the login information. So I should try logging in to something different and see how that works.
Well, so what happens when I do, at least in Ventura, what happens when I do it? So it starts off with the keychain pop-up window lit in front of the 1Password window lit, which was the original complaint. And if I hit tab, and this is only when you're logged into 1Password. If you're not logged into 1Password already, you won't have the 1Password window lit there. Okay. Right? And if I hit tab, what it does for me is it actually just goes down to the password field.
Okay. And I am logging into a completely different account since... I think iCloud was not the right test for this. And 1Password is just overwriting everything. You know, I have a feeling if I go and look at my settings, my system settings, I may have turned off keychain.
Oh, I see. All right. So I can
That I'm not a good test for this.
I can add a little more color. When I go to from the email and the site that I'm on asks for an email address and a password. Mm-hmm. And if I hit the tab button there, it does jump down to the password field. But if I hit the password, if I hit the tab key there, it does in fact take keychain away and present me only with the one password
option. So it really works. And it works. Is smarter than we are.
Well, but only if you're in the password field. Not okay, if you're in the email field.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Right. So again, I'm in the email address field. That's where my cursor is blinking. I've got two windowlets, the keychain windowlet covers the one password windowlet, which is windowlet is not the right word, but I like it. So I'm going to use it.
Yeah. And that's my Alanis Morissette cover band name.
Hitting tab from there drops me down to the password field. Nothing has been filled out in the email address field. The password input field remains blank, and I again have two windowlets, the keychain one passing or covering up the one password one. Then if I hit tab again, keychain goes away and I'm presented only with one password as an option. If I click on it, it does fill in both fields for me.
Okay, that's very cool.
It works.
Yeah.
It works.
That's right. Awesome.
Yeah. So,
I believe those are called pop-ups.
Pop-ups, right.
Also, the fact that you didn't react at all to my cover band joke.
Did you make a cover band? What did you say? I wasn't listening.
Oh, clearly.
We have discussed this. You speaking is merely interrupting until my time to speak again.
That's right. I'm just filler.
What was the cover band?
So the joke you missed was you said, and here's this windowlet, but that's not really what they're called. And I said something to the effect of, right, windowlet is my Alanis Morissette cover band name. And you just kept going if I hadn't spoken, but now it makes sense why.
Well, no. Now it's now I remember, and it's because it wasn't a funny joke. So I was just ignoring it. I was trying not to embarrass you by highlighting.
I think my mom's calling. I gotta go.
All right.
And that's this week's show.
Okay. Well, now that we have done that, now can I get some help?
Sure, Brian. I'm happy to help you. Be sure and type into the command line exactly what I tell you. Sudo rm.
Stop. Someone's going to do it. All right.
That's why I just stopped right there for just in case.
I've got a song that I put together a couple years ago.
We really are doing help for you.
Yeah, we really are. Yeah. And it's a tune. It's the first time I've ever recorded a full song using loops. And rather than recording everything myself, I did the vocals, of course. I chopped up all the loops and everything. I quite like it. I enjoy it. Can I play a little bit of it?
I think you should.
That's where you say yes. Thank you.
I mean, yeah, whatever. You can play some music.
All right, so I'm just going to start it. All right, so that goes on for a bit.
What people couldn't see was that I was sitting here dancing in support of Brian.
Oh,
in spite of the things that he's been saying.
I'm a lucky man. So I want to stick that out. I want to stick it out somewhere. And what I'm wanting is some kind of software that will make a responsive visualizer kind of video for me. So an animated video.
Like the sort of thing that the music app does, formerly iTunes.
Thank you, Ichabod. Yes, but more something that's maybe a little less. Ichabod? Thank you. maybe there's something that's a little less, that's more video oriented versus merely distracting oriented.
Okay. See, Ichabod was clearly thinking that just using the iTunes visualizer would suffice. But I get what you're saying. You want it less just like rando, psychedelic, and something that feels like it fits better with music?
Yeah, I suppose. Or even something where I can like pop the lyrics up and, you know, have them fade in and out, that sort of thing. I found a web oriented service that wanted my name, and since they don't need my name, I ignored that. Mm-hmm. Because they're clearly just wanting to capture my data and then sell it. I found an app on both the Mac App Store and the iOS App Store called Vithym, Vthym. It's not...
That's clever. Wow. I tried to say clever and it came out clever. Yeah. Anyhow.
It does a ton of things. Maybe it's Vue. Is it Vy? What is it? Vy? I did download it. And try it. Vythm. Yeah. It does like a whole bunch of really cool different effects. But it... is not quite responsive enough.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So, and fun fact, if you subscribe to the, if you unlock everything via a subscription of $4.99 a month on iPad or iOS, that does not restore on macOS. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, so if you buy all the stuff, you have to buy it on each platform.
Apparently. I can't imagine that that's what they actually intended, but, and don't get me wrong, it does a lot of things. If you're looking for like a good visualizer, it has just a ridiculous number of options, and it will do some screen recording. It will tie into your camera and stuff, but it doesn't quite react to the music quite in time enough for what I'm wanting. So anyway, if anyone has any ideas for generating an automatic animation for a video, please let me know. You can write to me at geektales.com on what about no that's not you can actually go to geektales.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter at geektales, and that's GEEKTELLS.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Brian, if Vithym does most of what you want already, mm-hmm. why not just reach out to the developer and tell him what issue you're having and see what he says.
That's a really interesting idea, Jeff. So let me get this straight. I should actually reach out to the developer and ask a question. Huh, that's interesting. Well, let me make some
notes. I'm just like out on the edge with that one.
Hold on, still making notes.
I mean, it's so crazy, it just might work.
Can ask questions. Okay, got it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Anyone else has a question or any input, please let me know. Yippee-ki-yay. Thank you, Jeff.
Good stuff. And it's a cool song.
Thank you. That's very nice. I like it. I like it. So let's see here. What do we have? You have something for us. Didn't you do something?
There are so many things that I could say right now.
I know that you did something. It involved your iPhone. It's pretty cool. And can you please tell us about it?
Yeah, you know, it's a good thing I know the context. Otherwise, this could go way off in left field.
Yes.
All right. So one of the features that Apple touted with iOS 16 was having a digital AD in the wallet app. And
that was years ago.
So they said,
right?
No, digital AD in wallet app is new. Like that's iOS 16. And,
no, Huh. Okay. Yeah. All right. Whatever.
I mean, the whole digital ID thing.
Dude, it's been so hard to keep up for me since Dave and I sold TMO.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead. Please tell us more about this brand new thing.
Oh, I love you, man. Uh-huh. Okay. So anyhow, Colorado is the second state, or I guess it's a tie for second place, for states adopting support for digital ID in Apple's wallet app. And so I set it up. And it's actually pretty cool how the whole process works, especially considering the digital ID app that that the state of Colorado is otherwise offering is so bad that I actually went to call Governor Polis and ask him for a refund on my percentage of the tax money that went into paying for this absolute garbage app. No, I'm not bitter about how bad the application is.
I can tell. I can feel your lack of bitterness from here. It's palpable.
Palpable. Yes. And I mean, it was just a horrible experience all the way around. I mean, just getting set up and getting your ID in, and then if you needed to show your digital ID, that process was cumbersome because then you had to go launch this app and do this login process and verification. Okay, so with the way it works in the wallet app, you know the little plus button that you tap so that you can add a new credit card?
Mm-hmm.
When you tap that, you get options for what you're going to add. And one of the things is a digital ID. And so when you tap that, it lists the states that are currently supported. And it's Arizona, that. Colorado, and Maryland, I think.
Yes, not shockingly, actually, but honestly shockingly, California.
Well, I'm sure it's coming. And honestly, I'm surprised that Colorado was one of the first to be supporting the new feature.
I'm surprised Arizona is supporting it at all.
That's another issue. They were like the vanguard on this one.
Huh. Cool.
Yeah. But I'm glad that Colorado is right up there. Maybe it's because their own app is so bad that they were like, why don't we just support this? The setup process is super simple, and once you have to take a photo of the front and back of your ID, mm-hmm. and then it has to do this face scan thing, mm-hmm. And then it sends everything off to presumably servers that the state of Colorado is working with, and then you get a message saying, okay, when your ID has been verified, you'll get a notice that that it's available in the wallet app. And the implication is that it can take a couple days.
How long did it take?
And
you?
Not even 10 minutes.
Mm, nice.
And then there it was. So the nice thing is that now that I have my ID in the wallet app, when I go through TSA now, all I have to do is tap my phone or my Apple Watch, because the ID is on the watch, and then it it's the same thing as if I were to have my physical ID out when I go through the checkpoint. Nice. And since I'm in a state now that's doing the whole everything is linked to your ID thing, that means I don't have to have a pass.
Do you mean real ID?
Or my flight pass out. I don't have to have an ID out. I just tap my phone. They need to see my face to verify that it matches. And on I go through the security checkpoint at the airport.
Now, can you access it then without opening your phone, without like fully unlocking your phone?
It'd be the same as if you were doing Apple Pay.
Okay, so right now, so, pull it out. License and registration, yes. Sir.
And the way that would work is if you're in a jurisdiction that has support for this, then they'll have sort of like an Apple Pay reader thing, and you tap that, hold your iPhone or your Apple Watch near that, and then it authenticates the transaction, and then that's it. They never touch your device.
Okay, can you pull up your driver's license now without unlocking your phone?
No.
Are you sure? Like, what happens if you double-click the Apple Pay button?
Well, let me lock, and let's try.
Like, is your Apple ID, is your driver's license one of the credit cards you could choose?
Oh, yep, it is. Yep. When I double tap the sleep wake button to get into Apple Pay, I see all of my cards. So that'd be the credit cards and then loyalty cards and my ID is listed in there also.
So try to open that.
Okay, so I tap on it, and it gives me the same thing that you get with a credit card, where you have to hold it near the reader.
Cool. Okay, good. So that's important in that I don't, without a warrant, law enforcement should not have access to your device.
I agree completely.
The contents of your device. Obviously, if you're arrested for some reason, they can take your device. They should not have access to the contents of that device without a warrant. That should require a search warrant. Mm-hmm. Now, if your phone is unlocked, it's not their fault and they can access it. At least I believe that's how the law works. So being able to access your driver's license on your iPhone without unlocking your iPhone is important.
I agree completely. Yes. Okay. So now here's the downside to this. Just because I have my ID as a digital ID in the wallet app doesn't mean that I get to leave my driver's license at home, because you have two elements to this. You have the state supporting the ability to have this technology, and then you have the jurisdictions actually supporting it.
So like if you're in some little podunk towns, you know, two policeman district where, you know, speed traps are a significant income for the city, you're probably not going to be able to do this.
Actually, in Colorado, with Colorado's digital ID support through their own app, there are five jurisdictions that support this. And so only right five. Now, only five.
And there's what, 40, 50 jurisdictions, 100 jurisdictions in Colorado?
There's a lot more than that because, I mean, you have over 50 counties. So that's, so you have all the counties, and then you have all the municipalities in each county. So thinking that if you get stopped in Colorado, say in Boulder, and you'll be able to use a digital ID, you are out of luck.
Right. So this is not what's the word? Panacea. It's not a panacea yet.
Right. And my expectation is that it will be a long time before it is. So in Colorado, at least, if you want to be able to use a digital ID in the jurisdictions that support that, you need to still have Colorado's own digital ID app, because the jurisdictions that do support this probably are not supporting what's in the wallet app. So for me, this is a convenience when I go to get on an airplane, because now I don't have to have any other devices or pieces of paper, anything out to get through security. I can tap my phone, and now they have my my ID and my flight information.
Right.
But someday,
yes,
we'll hit the point where
this process does take steps, and this is something that I trust Apple to do. Don't necessarily trust other parties to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and seriously, the process to set this up, so easy.
Good. How about on your Apple Watch?
Oh, I didn't even realize at first it was on my Apple Watch, and I just by chance look down at one point and notice I had this this dialogue alert on the watch face saying that my ID was available. So there you go. That I did nothing to make it happen. It was just there because I set it up in the wallet app on my phone, and the watch shares the same wallet.
Cool. All right. That seems good then.
I think it's very good, and I'm looking forward to wider adoption for this.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah, it'll probably take many years, but yes. Same.
Yeah. All right, so I have to share one cool little thing about this.
Okay.
And it's the attention to detail, and I'm sure this is Apple's attention to detail. So when I go into the wallet app and I tap on my ID, I get this this card on screen that looks like the background image on the driver's license.
Okay.
And if I tilt my phone around, it acts like a hologram. And so you have the depth to it, and there's like a bighorn sheep on the ID, state animal, and the mountains in the background. And so the colors kind of reflect off of it, and you can see the parallax and stuff. It's the detail here is just great.
That's great. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. You know what else is cool, Jeff?
What, Brian? What else is cool?
LinkedIn Jobs are sponsoring today's show. That is actually very cool. We appreciate it. So here's the thing. It's hard to, I've talked about this before. It's hard to hire. It's if you're looking to add positions to your company, it's hard. And you probably know that it's hard. You don't need me telling you that. What do they call that? An establishing? What's that thing in advertising? Right? Where they give you the opening line to let you know that they're identifying with you. Do you know that I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I don't know the words.
I don't know the term either, but it's super annoying. You don't need me to tell you that it's hard to hire. It's hard to hire. LinkedIn Jobs can really help that, help with that whole process. For one thing, they've got this huge, massive network. I think it's more than 800 million people belong to LinkedIn. It's the world's largest professional network. There's just a lot of folks there. And they give you, as an employer, as someone who is hiring, they give you all these tools for advertising for a job, managing those job posts, managing your candidates, right? They give you simple tools. They have screening questions. So that way you can sort of zero in on the right candidates before you ever actually have to talk to anyone, and get you the people with just the right skills and experiences, so you can quickly prioritize whoever it is that you want to interview and hopefully hire. They give you this ability to add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile. That way, anyone who's visiting your profile will know that you're hiring. The network effect can greatly amplify your exposure to potential candidates that way. They give you a dashboard that helps you manage all of this stuff, and it's super easy. And it's also easy to create your free job post, right? The LinkedIn Jobs has put a lot of thought into both the management and the creation process for your posts. They make it easy, and it's something, if you need to hire, you should absolutely and positively check it out. I definitely recommend it. They've been sponsoring us for a long time. We very much appreciate it. We would love it if you went and check them out. And you can post your first job for free just because you're listening to us. All you have to do is go to linkedin.com/ACM. Once again, that's linkedin.com/ACM. And that will allow you to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply, of course. And we very much would like for you to check them out. And if you're hiring and you're looking for people, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Indeed. All right. So someone else who may need to hire.
speaking of hiring.
What the crap is Elon Musk doing with Twitter? Is that what, I mean, we didn't actually even talk about what we were going to talk about. I mean, in terms of Twitter, it was like, let's talk about Twitter. Like, okay, that's great. Let's talk about Twitter. It's just,
I think we knew what we were going to talk about, which is what the crap, Elon. I mean, okay, so I appreciate that people look at Elon and think, wow, he's this great businessman. I mean, look what he's done with Tesla and SpaceX and the Boring Company. And before that, it was what, Square?
PayPal.
Is that the one he was part of?
PayPal, not Square.
PayPal. Yeah,
Jack Dorsey is Square.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyhow, yeah, you look at all this and say, oh, wow, here's this guy. And look at how he's been so successful. And then he jumps in on Twitter. And I never, ever would have imagined that it would take him a week to destroy the company. I mean, I seriously thought if he destroyed it, it would be this months-long, years-long process of slowly ruining it.
Okay, he hasn't destroyed it yet. It is not destroyed.
It will never, it can never be what it was ever again. He has destroyed what it was.
Okay, there's fair enough.
There's no way it can be what it was.
Okay. I want to start off with talking about Elon.
Mm-hmm.
Elon is someone that I admire in many ways and absolutely do not admire in many other ways. His hypocrisy in particular when it comes to the role of government and the role of government subsidies and the role of government regulations, his massive hypocrisy in that particular area drives me bananas. I think we've talked a little bit about that before.
It's come up before.
At the same time, it is also undeniable that, I mean, he's probably a savant. And the problem is, I think that he feels like that savantness applies to all areas, and savantness never applies to all areas. Like, free speech does not need Elon Musk solving it. For instance.
Clearly.
And don't even get me started about how he deliberately starts talking FUD with the Boring Company to derail high-speed rail projects. And he does it every single time. And that annoys the ever-living crap out of me. We need high-speed rail in this country, I like to call it. We need it. We need it in California. We need it across the country. You know, I've used the rail system now in two different countries with different levels of excellent rail service, and we need that in the United States.
Oh yeah, we definitely do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Twitter,
here's my take on it, Brian.
Please.
I think Twitter is revealing that Elon and the companies that he has bought his way into, they have been successful despite him.
Hold on. SpaceX and Tesla, you think that they're successful despite Elon Musk?
I do. At this point, I absolutely believe that SpaceX and Tesla have had their success despite Elon. I think he's been really good at the marketing and promotion and building up the hype. But I think that without the people that are actually making stuff happen, that promotion and hype would have been hollow. Companies would not have succeeded.
Categorically disagree with that. I think that he was 100% instrumental in the success of both of those companies, for good and for ill. One of the things that Elon Musk is absolutely in the plus column for him, in my opinion, is he is not afraid to fail. He's not afraid to try something that doesn't work. And he that's similar to Steve Jobs. He's not afraid to do something. And if it doesn't work, that's a lesson learned. You move on and you incorporate the lessons learned. And I personally believe that he has been very instrumental in a number of the innovations that both SpaceX and Tesla have done. I believe that there is empirical evidence of that. So to say that those companies are successful despite him, I don't think that's the case.
I'm at this point having a very hard time seeing him as a competent manager.
I would argue that what we're seeing is the fact that the problems of Twitter are not suited to his problem-solving skills.
I agree with you on that completely.
But that's much different. I would say that SpaceX and Tesla are two companies, and probably the Boring Company are three companies that are suited to his problem-solving skills. And PayPal was suited to his problem-solving skills. But I don't think Twitter is. I mean, let's look at this cockamamie. I'm trying to keep everything family friendly. This nonsense with the new pay for verification thing, and the absolute crap show that has been. It is so ridiculous. And how he has said that that's going to solve like the scam and spam problem. Like, no, it's not. And not only that, even if it did, what you're saying is that you have to be able to afford $8 a month to have free speech. How the crap does that make it? There are a lot of people who cannot afford $8 a month for something like that.
Right. And he clearly either didn't care or is not understanding what the purpose of the verification was prior to his changes.
Right.
You know, which was to validate that the person or the account was legit and was actually who they claimed to be.
And that they were someone of note.
Yes. Yes.
Right. I have seen Jesus Christ verified. The companies have been fake verified. Lots of people have been fake verified. Yeah. And by the way, all right. Hypocrisy. I do not like hypocrisy. I don't like my own, by the way. If you ever catch me being hypocritical, anyone out there, please let me know. And hopefully if you were correct and I can see that you're correct, I will do everything I can to rectify that in my life. That's not the point. The point is he talks about being a free speech absolutist, yet people start changing their name to Elon Musk and he bans them. How is that free speech absolutism? I mean, it's clearly parody and it is clearly, at the very least, satire. But no, it affects him. Right. And so he starts banning everybody.
Yeah, well,
I hate that
free speech to him, and I'm with you. I do not like that at all. I think free speech to him means that he personally gets to say what he wants without consequence.
Well, that's usually what it means for most people. For most people who have been chastised or otherwise blocked from speaking because of vile speech. What free speech tends to mean to that cohort of people is I should be free to say whatever I want to say without any consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's where Elon is on this. And so to him, the absolutism part really means there are never any consequences for what he says, but that doesn't apply to anyone else.
I believe Elon Musk when he says that free speech is important to him and that he thinks that it's important and that he thinks that it's an important thing and that he thinks that we need a digital town square that functions without censorship. I believe him when he says those things. I would argue that a privately owned platform, which he now privately owns, and he actually does get to set the rules that he wants, mm-hmm. that a privately owned platform is not the digital town square, and it is not subject to the same arguments of censorship which apply to the government.
Right.
And that's one area where he has gone utterly wrong with Twitter. The Twitter under its previous management was in fact allowed to decide who they wanted on their platform, who they would allow on their platform. He was wrong to say that that's not the case. Now, he owns it. So, unfortunately, he now gets to say who gets to be on his platform. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even have shareholders to mess with. Well, he's got the Chinese government or the Saudis. So, you know, he does have kind of shareholders.
Shareholders in that sense.
Yeah. I think it's the Saudis. I don't think it's the Chinese government. I'm not sure.
I believe you're right. The Saudis.
So my apologies for getting that wrong. But the Twitter, Facebook, these are not town squares. And the idea of a corporation deciding what can be on its platform is much different than the government allowing what can be said and not said.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me nuts. And another thing that drives me nuts, man, are Elon Musk fanboys. I am so sick. God save us from tech bro Elon Musk fanboys.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's the apology, not apologizing, the justifying for the things Elon is doing right now with Twitter. I mean, you have to be like Gumby to be that flexible, to contort yourself into the positions to be able to justify what Elon's doing right now.
Yeah. I saw this wave of people after Elon Musk announced that people who were impersonating would be banned from the platform. The amount of Elon Musk fanboys who were previously championing so-called free speech absolutism and then saying, oh, this is Elon being flexible and changing on a dime. I do not like intellectually unrigorous mm-hmm. situations. I do not like it.
It's amazing that at least from the outside, it looks like Elon was not capable of seeing the ramifications of taking verification, account verification, and turning it into a checkmark subscription. I mean, everyone was saying this is what's going to happen, and all of the fake accounts with blue check marks started cropping up immediately.
And of course they did. By the way, I was a Twitter Blue subscriber under the previous system because I wanted to tie in my NFTs.
That didn't give you a blue check mark.
No, it did not. And I will not buy verification. I will not pay $8 a month for this verification. It's meaningless.
It's utterly
meaningless.
Yeah. Being able to pay for verification, assuming verification was still a legit thing. And I say that as someone who actually is verified, there's no validity to verification anymore.
There is still a difference. And I don't even know how I know that there's at least one Chrome extension that will identify someone as having paid for their blue check mark or not.
Oh, okay. Well, listeners, someone find that extension, install it, and then see what it says for me, because I'm curious to show how it lists. I'm Jay Gamut on Twitter, and let me know what it says, because I got verified years and years ago. And so it should list me as whatever actual verification is versus I paid $8, but I'm curious to see what it says.
And it's $8 a month. by the way.
Yeah, $8 a month.
It's $8. So, and there, like I said, there's a lot of people for whom that is a lot of money. There's a lot of people in the world for whom that is an impossible amount of money.
Right. Yeah. Go to, yes. I was about to re-say the same thing. Yes, that's absolutely correct. And even if it was still just a verification thing, adding $8 a month to it creates an inappropriate barrier, because now people that legitimately should have that verification would not be able to get it.
And in addition to that, he has said that if you are not paying $8 a month, your tweets will essentially be suppressed. So
that sounds a lot.
That puts free speech.
Not like free speech.
Yeah, not at all. It puts so-called free speech into the hands of those wealthy enough to pay for it. It's just like, again, the man is a savant who has, whatever process, has mistakenly come to believe that savantness applies everywhere, and it does not, clearly.
It does not. No, it does not. All right, Brian, so I'm curious, are you considering leaving Twitter?
Sure. Sure.
Oh, the way you said that was just...
yeah, you know, and you can find my thoughts on that on Twitter at GeekTales.
Right.
And where is the context machine? I think it's a context machine. That's right. And you, what are you, Jay? Mm-hmm. You're Jay Gamet.
And I'm Jay Gamet.
With a blue check mark.
Yes. Yeah, so I have a couple of friends that over the years have just lovingly given me a hard time about having a Twitter verification. And I'm like, that's fine, you know, if it makes you happy, just I'm glad I can be there for you. And one of them sent me a message the other day and said that they wanted to get real Jeff Gamet as a Twitter name, mm-hmm. and then pay the $8. Mm-hmm. It's blue check, and just start doing a fake Jeff Gamet post. And I'm like, well, there's actually no one that can stop you. And as long as it's really clever and funny, well, go for it, because then it might make me look smarter.
I like this. It astounds me that he thought that he could roll this out properly in moments.
Yeah, well, and especially after he fired half the company.
Yeah.
Another concern there, the people that handle privacy and security, they're all gone.
Yeah, and that's going to cause him problems with the FTC, because the FTC has a consent decree out there. I believe that he's going to find that I own a couple shares of Tesla that I'd mm-hmm. long been planning on getting out of, and I wish I had. I bought them years ago, and so I'm a shareholder here, and I fear that for a lot of shareholders, and even for the I've got issues with Tesla Inc. I won't bother going down that rabbit hole today, but on balance, Tesla Inc. has done a lot for the world. The advancements to electric cars in particular have been important for the world.
I agree. I think Tesla has done a lot to really push forward the electric car market.
Force the electric car market. They did so in part with U.S. subsidies and California subsidies that he then pooped mm-hmm. on later, which again, that hypocrisy drives me bananas. But my point is that I fear that Twitter is going to end up dragging down all of his companies, at least temporarily. I don't care as a share that I don't own that many shares of Tesla at all. So I'm not saying that because I fear the effect that it's going to have on me. I actually fear the effect that it's going to have on the companies, their employees, shareholders who are much bigger than me, that sort of thing, whatever. I the Twitter acquisition is going to be a mess. And don't even get me started about the potential, considering how important China is to Tesla. Do not get me started about the potential for shenanigans when it comes to Twitter management, both in China and outside of China, due to pressures that the Chinese government could conceivably bring onto Tesla. And also, do not get me started on the potential for shenanigans relating to Saudi folks. I think it's it's the guy who owns a bunch of Apple too. Do you remember him? He was like a big believer in Steve Jobs back in the day. We did stories about him at TMO.
Yes, Prince, I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either. But I mean, there are potential for shenanigans, and there's potential for the FTC to really get its nose involved in what Twitter is doing. And I think that it's going to end up being a complete catastrophe and mess for Elon and for all of us. And I don't know what to do. I did open up my account on Mastodon.
I'm on Mastodon as well. You know what, Brian? I'll make sure that in our show notes, our Mastodon accounts are there now too.
I'm not along doing with anything there.
Twitter stuff.
Are you?
Well, then I'm. Well, yeah. See, where I am right now is I'm looking at where Twitter is and what the apparent path forward is with the company, and so I'm like kind of hedging my bets a little bit, I suppose. And yes, I'm doing stuff on Mastodon, but what I'm doing right now, instead of, for the most part, just going to Mastodon and posting, I'm posting on Twitter, and then I'm using a service called Crosspost that then takes that content and puts it on Mastodon. Okay. I could have it go the other way.
That's all fine and dandy. But if you're not part of the conversation, and I know this from experience because I'm not great at being part of the conversation, right? If you're not part of the conversation on a platform, that platform is useless.
I agree completely, which is why I'm also now having to spend time on Mastodon in addition to Twitter, so that conversations that are happening on each platform, I'm participating in. So what I'm doing is saving myself from having to write something on Twitter and then turn around and write it on Mastodon, but I'm not saving myself from having conversations in only one place. Well, so,
okay. You've always been excellent at being part of the conversation and not just posting. There are folks that I know, in fact, who think that being on social media is simply about posting content, and it's not. It's about interacting with content, and it's about being part of the conversation. And if you're not part of the conversation, you're going to find that your reach is meaningless.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
Yep. So, and who's got time? I mean, I barely have time to not interact with Twitter. I don't have time to not interact with Twitter. I don't know. Do you still, with Mastodon, do you still have that thing where you've got to like join a particular server?
Yes, because that's how it works.
That's useless too.
So for the people, it's okay. The Mastodon is cool, and at the same time, is its own barrier to entry, because the way it's set up is it's like an open source server system that this guy developed. So it's not like Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, where you sign up and then that's it. You're just on the server. There, anyone can spin up a Mastodon server, and you join whatever server you want. But that doesn't mean those are the only people that you interact with, because you can like when I look at my Mastodon list of people that I follow, I'm following people on a bunch of different Mastodon instances, and it doesn't matter. So once you're in and you know someone's name, then it's then you can just follow them. But the problem is getting signed up, and then it's like, well, now pick the server you want. And that's enough to stop most people right there.
Yeah, it I mean, yes. It is. Thank you. I accept your apology.
Yeah. And I do know people that when they signed up, because Mastodon will say, hey, pick a server, and it'll suggest some for you. And they randomly picked a server. And the problem with doing that is that if you want to see content that relates to what you're interested in, join a server that focuses on that content, but then you can follow the people you want from whatever server, and that part doesn't matter. So then you can look at your content in two ways. You can look at the people you follow, or you can look at the overall content for the server, which on one hand sounds great, but on the other hand, I don't know anyone that's actually doing that. It's all just pick the server, whatever, I'm signed up, here's my name, now you can follow me. It needs to be easier.
So all of this really just sort of emphasizes to me, I mean, like, you know, I'm still on Facebook, but I don't use it. You know, I'm still following all I'm still friends with all the people that I was friends with years ago, but I don't read what anyone has to say unless I get directed to, essentially, really, unless I get directed to some kind of Facebook post externally, like someone saying, hey, you know, come follow my company, or, you know, here's a project, or even I put up pictures from the wedding or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I will reluctantly go and look at them, but I didn't leave Facebook. And with Twitter, things are a mess. Misinformation and disinformation are a problem. People who think that misinformation and disinformation are not a problem are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The harassment that can happen without content moderation is a problem. And Twitter was about as close as anyone to getting it right. By the way, I'm all over Instagram. I complain about Facebook all the time. And I definitely am a consumer of Instagram content. And I'm also a consumer of, I get a lot of my Twittering is following a particular account, a political account on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like, and I guess I do some NFT interactions as well. NFT related, crypto related interactions too. I don't know what my point is, man. Social media is a mess.
Social media is a mess. And Elon is not social media's friend or savior.
Nope.
He's not helping the problem.
Nope.
At all.
Nope. Nope. He ain't helping. He certainly hasn't solved anything, and he's made some things worse. And he's going to end up getting himself in trouble.
He is.
There's a consent
to get.
Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's you. Go for it.
There is a consent decree with the FTC related to some privacy violations that Twitter was doing long before Elon came along. But it's a consent decree that still governs, that still covers Twitter from 2010. And he fired the team that oversees that. That's a problem. Yeah, it's going to cause him problems, team. Right? That's going to, I mean, I haven't seen a problem stemming from that yet, but the FTC has said, hey, we have a problem with this. Anyway, he's going to run into problems.
I agree completely. Yep. So I accept your apology.
Well, as always, interested in hearing what our listeners have to say. You can let us know on Twitter at Context Machine if you want, or you can reach out to us at contextmachine.io.
Right. You can also reach out on Mastodon, and I'll interact with you, and Brian won't.
Oh, can you make our Context Machine account over there?
You know what? Yes, I can make a Context Machine Mastodon account for us.
Let's assume it's still available. As of this writing, we're expecting that to be at Context Machine.
Yeah, well, considering that that Mastodon is currently just over 1 million users, and most of the, well, about half of them are from the last couple of weeks, there's a good chance I'll be able to get us that.
Right. And maybe even we'll post stuff. I don't know. Whatever.
We'll figure it out.
I should have. I missed my opportunity to go straight to that. Hey, Jeff. thanks for this conversation today, man. I appreciate it.
It's been loads of fun. It's always just a special treat when we get to hang out and chat.
Agreed. It's actually one of the highlights of I would say every week, but every week that we record.
Let's just call it one of your highlights.
It's one of my highlights. It's definitely one of my highlights. And that is this week's Apple Context. Oh, that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can reach out to us over at Top Man. Over at contextmachine.io, our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. We appreciate that. The bass is recorded by Boom. We love Ricky. Recorded just for us. And this week's sponsor was LinkedIn Jobs.
Yeah. Thank you, LinkedIn Jobs.
Right. If you go to linkedin.com/ACM, you can post your job for free. It's easy to do. And on that happy note, let me get over to the thing. Listen, I feel like I'm picking it up. I feel like I'm getting the hang of it.
I think so. You're starting to get it.
Starting to get it.